The following message was given by Brother Dennis Cooley in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, October 13th, 2019. The title of the message is The All-Inclusive Christ Being the Allotted Portion of the Saints, According to God's Choice, as their divine inheritance for their enjoyment. Scripture reading, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, and Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7.
Increase our appreciation. Thank you, you are everything to us, and we are in you. We do pray we would experience you more. We would be rooted and grounded in you, being built up in you. Lord, bring us into more reality. For all these precious verses, oh, we commit the time this morning to you. Pray you will anoint your word and anoint every one of us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, this week we have been reviewing this message from the training. It actually was the seventh message on the training. It's our week 13 in our study book. And the title is The All-Inclusive Christ Being the Allotted Portion of the Saints, According to God's Choice as Their Divine Inheritance for Their Enjoyment. A very precious title. And there are mainly two points here this morning that we want to cover. One is related to our Christ being our allotted portion. And that is seen in picture or in type in the Old Testament with the good land of Canaan being the portion of the Old Testament saints. God promised Abraham he would bring them into a good land, and he would give them this land, and they would have a portion of this land allotted to each one of them, allotted to all the tribes of the children of Israel. And that was God's goal, to bring them into this land, even as he promised Abraham. And of course, you know, the Old Testament is a long history of this, of God's calling Abraham out of Chaldea and bringing him to the land. Then they were carried out of the land, and then they were brought out of Egypt, brought back to the land. It's all about the land. And this morning we're going to mention or talk about this related to our experience as New Testament believers. We are not called into a physical land, but this land of Canaan, is a type. It's a picture of the all-inclusive Christ. And I really enjoyed this verse this week, Deuteronomy 8, 9. I'm going to read it to you again. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. Praise the Lord. Our Christ is one who feeds us without scarcity. And you will not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and from whose mountains you can mine copper. And this is the first point that we want to talk about today. Our Christ is unsearchably rich. Everything we need is in him, and everything that he has is for us and is given to us as our allotted portion. You know, when you go to the saints' home to eat, and they give you a plate of food, that is your portion. It's been allotted to you. Well, all of the riches of Christ have been allotted to you by God. They are your allotted rightful portion. And we need to partake of it. And we're going to talk about a little bit more about how to enjoy this portion even more. Then the second point is related to God's choice, which has to do with the inheritance of the children of Israel in gaining their portion of this good land. And God had apportioned out a portion of this land for all the tribes. But we'll see a little bit later, there were 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, that wanted their own choice. And they asked Moses for their own place, their own part of the land, which was actually east of the Jordan River. Not part of what the Bible eventually describes as the good land. The good land was from the Mediterranean to the Jordan River, not east of the Jordan River, but these two tribes wanted their own choice. They wanted their desire. They had a lot of flocks. They noticed that the land was really good. They said, we want this part. And they didn't want to cross over the Jordan to go into the major part, or what the Bible calls the good land itself. And we're going to see something about this. There are a lot of lessons for us in the church to learn here about, are we going to take God's choice, or will we take what is best for us, what we want, what we feel is best for us? And so we'll see that a little bit later. And Timothy's going to share a little bit more, I think, on that point. So the first point is very much related to Colossians 2, 6 and 7. This is the major verses related to our participation and our enjoyment of this all-inclusive Christ as the good land. So let's read them one more time together. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As therefore you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, been rooted and being built up in Him, and being established in the faith, our burden is really for our experience. It's not just to understand the, you know, the typology, and the, it is a major typology that Christ, the good land, is a type of Christ. And we have a book called The All-Inclusive Christ. I would like to encourage all of those who maybe are new among us or young among us and haven't read that book. It's called The All-Inclusive Christ. And it is a conference given by Brother Lee in California in the early 60s. And it all comes from these three verses in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we didn't read all three of them, but let me just read them to you. For Jehovah your God is bringing you, this is verse 7, into a good land, a land of water brooks, of springs, and of fountains, flowing forth in valleys and in mountains, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees with oil and of honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. You will not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and from whose mountains you can mine copper. From these three verses, Brother Lee spoke at a conference, and we now have it as a book called The All-Inclusive Christ. And our burden this morning is related to, how can we experience this? How can this be real in our Christian life, in our daily life? How can we experience Christ as our good land? And these verses in Colossians 2 give us a handle. They give us some secret. The verses in Colossians 2 mentioned that we should walk in Him. That's a very precious phrase. We should underline that phrase, right? We have received Christ Jesus into us, but now we need to walk in Him. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:30, I think we have that verse. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption." You know, the children of Israel wandered for 40 years and they entered into the good land. But you and I, as soon as we believed in the Lord, as soon as we believed and received Him as our life and were baptized, we were put into Christ. We were put into this good land. We're not wandering to try to get into it. We are already in it. So what should we do? We should walk in Him. We should walk in this Christ. And this is a very precious point. You know, and this all-inclusive Christ is now the all-inclusive life-giving Spirit. So we should also walk in the Spirit. And this is the main point of the entire New Testament. Walk by the Spirit. We have two verses, Romans 8:4. Maybe we can read that together. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We need to walk according to the Spirit. This is what it means to walk in Him, right? And then Galatians 5:16. I love this verse. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust. So for us to experience this good land in our daily life, at work, in our family life, when we're at home with our family after work, or when we're you know, with the saints in the church meetings. We need to be those who are walking in Christ. We need to be those who are walking by the Spirit and not according to the flesh, but doing everything by the Spirit. This is a very practical point. And then in verse 7, it says, having been rooted. So here, the picture is, we are plants rooted in the soil of Christ as the good land. We've been rooted in Him. And being built up in Him and being established in the faith. So I really enjoyed this point. We are rooted in Christ. And every day we need to let our fresh roots go down deeper into Christ to receive all the nourishment from Christ. You know, many of us have plants either in our yard, some in our house, and we take care of them. But one of the most important things is the root system. You've got to take care of the roots. And you need fresh soil, you need fertilizer, because all the nutrients that the plant needs to grow come through the roots. And it's the same with us. We are rooted in Christ. And all the nutrients, all the supply of life, all the enjoyment of Christ as our righteousness, our sanctification, every aspect of Christ, we need to draw that aspect, those riches of Christ through our root system. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to see in this portion that we got through this week, a lot of times we saw this word, read this word, absorb. I don't know if you appreciated that word this week, but as plants rooted in Christ, we need to absorb the riches. We need to draw in the riches. And I, in my study this week, I learned, you know, and on the one hand, the root hairs are going out every day. The new roots are where the real nutrients are coming from, not the big tap roots that are holding the plant steady. It's those fresh roots that go out. And I think that very much relates to our daily experience. We enjoyed the Lord yesterday very much, but today we need to send out new roots. We need to send out fresh roots every day to enjoy Him more day by day and to absorb Him. You know, the roots go out. And it seems that, according to what I studied a little bit this week, that the nutrients are attracted to the roots. I always thought the roots are going out to find the nutrients, but it seems that the nutrients are attracted and then they're drawn up into the roots. So the more we send out our roots, the more Christ is attracted to us and drawn into us, that we could enjoy Him and be built up in Him. Now, in this point, I just want to mention this. This is not so much the building up of the church corporately. We'll get to that. But this is actually for us to be built up in Christ personally. This is for, or we could say, equal to our growth in Christ. We need to grow in Christ, right? He's in us as a seed. Planted as a seed, but He wants to spread and grow in us. How does He do that? We need to spend time with the Lord. Could you get my hymnal out of there, Timothy? We have a hymn in our hymnal, 643. And if you have your hymnal, you might want to open to that hymn. It's a very good hymn. It says, take time, right? 643. Take time to behold Him. Or you could sing it this way. Take time to absorb Him. I sing it this way sometimes. Take time to absorb Him. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Wait thou in His presence, submissive and meek, forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. This is the best way for us to grow in Christ, to walk in Christ, to be rooted in Christ, is to take time to behold Him. More time. You know, sometimes we've mentioned this, you know, we need to have a good morning watch, a good morning revival with the Lord. And often, because we're so busy in a busy city, we have long commutes, we have about 10 or 15 minutes to be with the Lord. That's wonderful. It's wonderful to spend 10 or 15 minutes with the Lord. But if you want to spend adequate time to absorb Him more, you need to spend more time. And I found this in my experience. I need to get up a little earlier and maybe spend a half an hour with the Lord. And when you spend a little more time just in His presence, opening to Him, beholding Him, you will be absorbing the riches of Christ in your daily life. And you will be supplied more in your daily life to do what? To walk in Him. To check with Him during the day. How about this, Lord? Where should I go for lunch? What should I have for lunch? Should I invite one of my coworkers to lunch? To be open to Him during the day. And then as we're back home with our family, oh Lord, how should I spend my evening with the family? Should I call some saints? Should I be with some saints? We need to learn to absorb Him so that we can behold, by beholding Him, so that we can walk in Him and walk by the Spirit. And this is a part, this should be our daily living. This should be our daily living. There's a portion in our the outline for this week that struck me. It mentions this. This is in the outline of week 19, letter C, number 3 and 4. The only way to become deeply rooted in Christ is to contact the Lord and spend time with Him in the Word with much prayer. We first grow downward and then bear fruit upward. And this refers to Isaiah 37, 31. And the remnant of those who have escaped of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. If we want to bear fruit, if we want to express Christ to others, that's the outward, the part of the plant that's expressed, right? That's above ground. We need to send roots downward in order to bear fruit upward. While we walk in Christ, we will be built up in Christ to live out Christ. This is the goal. The goal is God's purpose, right? To express Christ, to live Him out, to live Christ in front of others and with others. The living out of Christ will produce the corporate expression of Christ. I love this, the church life. When we live out Christ, the corporate expression of Christ is produced, which is the church life. And I was struck by this. I was wondering, why did the brothers write this outline and didn't say, the expression of Christ, the church? That would be true. That would be appropriate. But they mentioned the church life. And this point struck me. It's been touching me over these last few weeks. You know, recently we've spent more time to consider, you know, our situation with our young people and with our young adults. And we're not satisfied that many of our own children don't remain in the church life their whole life. We lose maybe half of our kids. That is not acceptable. And we're burdened and we're praying and laboring to try to, you know, correct that situation. And one thing there are many, many reasons, and I don't want to get into that. But one reason that I've read about from many Christians who face this problem is that they said that the church, these young adults say the church doesn't meet their need. They don't feel a part of it. They don't fit in. And I feel that if we think the church life is just the meetings, we're going to fall into that same problem. And we do fall into that same problem. The church life is much more than just the meetings. The meetings are crucial. The meetings, without the meeting, we wouldn't have the church at all. We need the meetings, but the church life should be our daily life. Our life should be the church life. The danger is, or maybe the problem, I don't know if we want to go that far to say that, but the danger is that we often compartmentalize our life. I have my work life, and then my family life, and then the meeting life, and then I have my friend's life. You know, we separate things. And then when we do that, we often say, how do you balance your family life and the church life? Well, I'm not judging anything, but I feel if we would realize that we just have one life and one living, and that is the church life, And our job is part of the church life. And our family is the church life. And our friends are the church life. Everything should be the church life. And if we have a vibrant church life, an enjoyable church life outside the meetings, not only in the meetings, I love the meetings of the church in New York, and they're wonderful. But outside the meetings, we should have the saints over. We should take care of the young people outside the meetings as well, right? If they enjoy being with you outside the meetings, they will enjoy the church life. And they won't want to leave the church life because it's more than just the meeting. And many of us who have been here for many years, I have to testify, you know, when I came to the meetings, I enjoyed the meeting. But then the saints started to invite me over to their house for lunch after the Lord's Day. And I would go to different saints' homes. And being in the homes of the saints on the Lord's Day brought me into the church life. And it became the church life to me. And I loved the meetings, but I couldn't wait to go to the lunch with the saints. And not because I love to eat. I do love to eat. That's not the reason. But because I went to the homes of the saints, and they talked about the Lord Jesus after the meeting. Oh, that was wonderful. And they were fellowshipping about the meeting. Oh, that was so rich and so enjoyable. I didn't understand everything. And they would ask me a question, and I didn't know. And we'd get into the Word together. It was the church life. And it attracted me so much. And I realize as we're, you know, getting larger and getting bigger, we may have lost a little bit of that. We may not have as many homes open as we had before. And I'm burdened for this. We need to open our homes and have the saints into our homes. We need to have the church life in our daily living. Out of that, we will be walking in Christ. We will be expressing Christ. I believe we'll be preaching the gospel more because we're enjoying this Christ as the all-inclusive land more. Amen. And we will have a very attractive church life. Amen. That the saints, the new ones, our young ones, our own children will enjoy. You know, we had young people's meetings in my home on Saturdays before the young people's meeting. We had, you know, a little small group, and we would feed dinner, give them dinner, and we would read a few verses, sing a couple songs. It wasn't a major thing. It was just to be in the home together and sing with the young people. My kids loved that. They loved Saturday afternoon. And the young people would come over, and they're all looking up to them like, oh, wow. You know, they look up to them. They're their patterns. They admire them. And those kinds of experiences, being with the saints, not just in the meetings, but, you know, when we have the time, for lunches on the weekends, or going out together. I know many of the saints, they when they have a break, they go out and have some little vacation together, several families together. That's wonderful. That's the church life. And in that time, we can enjoy the Lord together. We sing, and we may even get into the Word a little bit together. The point is that it is our living and not only the meetings. So I feel like this. We need to see this, and we need to practice this. We need to have this in our church life. And when we see new ones, we should invite them over. You know, when I first came, I heard many, many stories about Brother Grueler when he was here. Steve lived with him. He could testify this. Always had saints over. They always had a table prepared, even though they may not have invited anyone yet. Is that right, Steve? But they saw a new one in the meeting. They said, come over for lunch, because Sister Grueler already prepared something. And they had food there, you know. Now, when I see that, and I talk to Kathy, she says, yeah, go out and get some Chinese food, and we can have the saints over. We don't prepare ahead of time. Now, I'm not condemning buying food and having them over. That's better than not having them over. But anyway, we need to be thinking about this and opening to the Lord about this, that we could have a very rich and enjoyable church life. Amen. Now, let's come to this matter of the allotted portion, Colossians 1:12, and I'll just read that to you one more time. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. You have a portion. You have an allotted portion of the saints in the light. That is your portion of this good land. We've been chosen by God, right? And He has transferred us out of the authority of darkness, into this kingdom of the Son of His love, into Christ. And we were baptized into Christ. Amen. Christ, this good land, is God's goal. The Old Testament type makes it clear. The goal was to get them into the good land. And God's goal today is to get us into Christ and to get us rooted and grounded and built up in Christ and to walk in Christ as the Spirit. Now, we sang hymn 554, and I'm not going to sing it again, but this is a very precious hymn that we would take time every day to get into Him and to have Him speak to us and enlighten us. And that hymn is has been helpful to me over the years, along with 643, even in my morning revival time with the Lord. Sometimes I'm just kind of cold and I need to sing a hymn to warm up to the Lord. And so I would use some of these hymns that are very personal. And they really bring me into more fellowship with the Lord and spend more time with the Lord by using these hymns. That will be the church life. Now I'm going to spend a few minutes on the second point, and Timothy may share a little bit more on the second point. In chapter 32 of Numbers, the first six verses, I think we have them there. Let me just read them to you. You can look on. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great abundance of livestock. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that the place was indeed a place for livestock, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and to the leaders of the assembly, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elilah and Sebam and Nebo and beyond, the land which Jehovah struck before the assembly of Israel, is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. And they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants for a possession. Do not make us cross over the Jordan. And Moses said to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, shall your brothers go to war while you stay here? This was quite an interesting chapter. These three tribes wanted this portion of the land. They didn't want to cross over the Jordan. They wanted to stay there. Now, there was a compromise made, and I used to think, well, that was pretty fair. Eventually, Moses said, are you going to give up your obligation? We came here to fight. We have to fight and defeat the enemies in the land so that we can partake of the land, and you're not going to come and help us to fight. And they did say, okay, we'll come over and fight with you, but we still want this land. And they did that, but God was not happy. He was not happy with them. Let me just read a couple of verses from this portion in Numbers. Verse 7, now why would you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from crossing over into the land which Jehovah has given them? By their not going over, this would discourage the other, their brothers, would discourage them. Your fathers did, and then he equates this, listen, your fathers did this when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. When they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel from going into the land which Jehovah had given them. And Jehovah's anger was kindled that day, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men who came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not fully followed me. Verse 12, except Caleb, the son of Jephthah, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, because they have fully followed Jehovah. The Lord was upset with them. And Moses likened it to that time when the 12 spies went in and the 10 came back with a negative report, and that discouraged the children of Israel. And now he's telling these tribes, are you going to discourage your brothers? And there was a compromise there, but there's a lesson here to be learned. What was the problem was not that they wanted part of the land. That was the God wants to give them part of the land. The problem was they wouldn't let God choose which part of the land to give them. They wanted their part of the land. They were selfish. They wanted what they wanted. And they were willing to go in and fight to get what they wanted. So in the one hand, it was kind of a compromise, and Moses said, okay, we'll take it. But, you know, you have to kind of picture the geography here. There's the Mediterranean Sea is the one border of Israel. Then there's the River Jordan, another border of Israel, and the Dead Sea, two seas and a river are bordering Israel. So Israel is surrounded by water. And this water in the Old Testament and in this type depicts the death of Christ. Because when the children of Israel went in over the Jordan River, they put 12 stones in there, signifying that they're being buried, their old man is being buried, they're passing through the death of Christ to enter into this good land. You know, the good land is an elevated land. It's a raised land from the sea. You know, I went to Israel last year. Some have traveled over there. I was very surprised. I get off the plane. The brothers picked me up, and they drove me to Jerusalem. And you know how they got? How do you get to Jerusalem from there? It's all uphill. It's all uphill. And I forget the elevation, but it's thousands of feet uphill. And there's, you know, it's just hills. It's a valley elevated. It's a valley of it's a country that's elevated, a country in resurrection, typifying resurrection and ascension. But the only way to resurrection and ascension is through death. We have to pass through the death of Christ. This is a great lesson to learn. When they made their choice, what it meant was, what they said was, we don't want to cross over the Jordan, meaning we don't want to pass through the death of Christ. Well, Paul said in Philippians 3, right? What things were gains to me, these I have counted loss on account of Christ. But moreover, I also count all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them refuge that I may gain Christ. His goal was to gain Christ and be found in him. And then in verse 10, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if perhaps I may attain to the out-resurrection of the dead. Paul knew, he realized, I have to be conformed to his death in order to participate in his resurrection, in the out-resurrection from the dead. Brothers and sisters, it's the same with us. We may have our plans, we may have our choice, but we need to be those who allow God to make his choice for us and to pass through the death of Christ, to pass through whatever sufferings we have, to pass through the death of Christ, that we could gain Christ, that we could be found in Christ. And there's a marvelous hymn at the end of the end of our week's lesson in that study book, 907. This is a hymn by Emmy Barber, and the tune is by Mozart. It's the second tune, 907. Let me just read you a few of the lines here. I treasure this hymn. Not where we elect to go, but where Jesus leads the way. There the living waters flow. There our darkness turns to day. Not our self-appointed task will the Lord's approval win, but the work we did not ask, finished humbly just for him. Not the prayer we long to plead when we bend before the throne, but the touching deeper need of the Spirit's wordless groan. Not the gift we proudly lay on his altar will he heed, if our hearts have said him nay when he whispered, I have need. Thus we die and dying live in the heavenlies with the Lord. Thus we serve and pray and give Christ himself our great reward. There's a great lesson to be learned here, brothers and sisters, not to take our own way, not to make our own choice, but to pray, Lord, your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. The Lord had his choice even before he went to the cross. At Gethsemane, he prayed, Lord, if there's any way you can remove this. He had a will. He did not want to pass through that. And he asked the Father. But then, at the end, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. May we be those that have the same attitude, the same practice, the same kind of exercise, to ask the Lord for His will to be done. We wouldn't make our own choice. We wouldn't choose our own pleasure and our own gain, but we would take the Lord's way and let Him choose the way that we would go on. Amen.
So Brother A has some burden also. So this morning, just when we were sitting together, I mentioned a little bit to Dennis concerning what he chose the hymn for this session concerning the experience of Christ. And I said, this message has two parts. The first part is concerning the all-inclusive Christ being the allotted portion to the saints, but it's according to God's choice. So God's choice is the second part. And I said, usually we don't touch this part that much, especially concerning with the picture of the Old Testament, when the children of Israel, they crossed the, they were led by the Lord, not only come out of Egypt and passing through the wilderness, building the temple and enjoying God's provision and following the pillars of cloud and pillars of fire, so they can move forward. Of course, because of their unfaithfulness and the failure, the majority, the ones over 20 years old, they were not able to go into the good land. But anyhow, at the end of the book of Numbers, we have a particular portion. In the book of Numbers, they have not crossed the good land. They have not crossed the Jordan River, entered into the good land. But at the toward the end, there was already the pre-arrangement for the distribution of the good land. So that picture shows us that in God's arrangement, God does not just bring the children of Israel into the good land so they just enjoy the good land. But God has His arrangement, and God has His distribution of the good land. And God has His choice for all the tribes of Israel. But the 2.5 tribes, before they cross the good land, they have a lot of stock, flocks and oxen, and they choose to stay on the east side of the Jordan River. It's very interesting, the verses we read in Numbers, it began with the two tribes, the tribe of Reuben and Gad, and the Asher. And eventually we found out the half tribe of Manasseh also joined them. So the kind of their choice, they're choosing which part for their possession, for their enjoyment, influenced others. And eventually we, I always thought, both sides, the rivers, it belongs to them because they took, they defeated the enemies and it's theirs. But if we read carefully, we will realize it's only the land on the west side is part of the good land. So in other words, what the 2.5 tribe, what they have chosen, strictly speaking, is not part of the good land. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Maybe we can read the verses in Joshua. I'll read it to you. And if you can have it on the screen, also they'll be helpful. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah, Jehovah spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' attendant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, arise and cross over the Jordan. So the Lord told all the children of Israel and told Joshua to lead them cross the Jordan, and all these people into the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. So God's given land is right, the land on the west side, not on the east side. So it's very clear. I'm touched that in the ministry, he mentioned that this shows a kind of a situation I think we all are facing. That is God's choice and our choice. His choice or my choice. I think daily we are facing this, you know. God's choice, in fact, is the best choice. Our choice is the second best. Quite often, because of the stocks, because what God has given us, because God has blessed us, we make decisions based on that. And we forgot that God has the best choice for us, if we know it. So I'm touched that even, you know, I'm facing this also day by day. You know, all of us, you know, to back off, you know, we cover a little bit concerning the one new man and the body of Christ. Concerning the body of Christ, my body is a matter of life and give me strength. I can do things. But what to do is a decision. And that decision is who is the person making decision. So the one new man is Christ as the person. The body of Christ is Christ as life. So here concerning making the choice is a matter of the person who makes the decision. So you know, I just came back this morning from India. There was I was in the Italy training, and coming back, we have a long layover, we had a long trip, and you sit in there, you know, you have a screen in front of you. They have all the movies, TVs, programs, everything. I don't usually watch a lot that, but sometimes I do watch a little bit, and I told the Lord, Lord, if you I have my choice, you know, if I'm sitting in front of this screen, I have my choice. But I told the Lord, I said, usually I can't make your choice or whatever you choose. I may prefer what I want to watch. But I said, but anyway, Lord, I give it to you. You know, I'm weak to make the choice, but you are the person in me. And the Lord was faithful to answer my prayer. I did watch a little bit, but not according to my choice. And in fact, it's good. My point, you know, when this morning, when I came back, I read a little bit concerning what we covered this past week. And I really enjoyed this point, that concerning God's choice. In fact, I think God has blessed us, every one of us, without exception. Even with our brother Eddie's testimony, you know, he is very thankful that you know, he is you know, the Lord put him in the church, you know, and this is his home. I think this is our home. God has blessed us and God is still blessing us. But what God has done for us, what God has given to us, beside all the belongings, possessions, even himself, is for a purpose. It's not just for our enjoyment. And this is the view concerning the 2.5 tribes. They made their choice, lose the view of God's purpose. God's purpose is to bring them across the river into the good land for God's purpose, for God's will, for God's goal, for God's kingdom, for God's testimony. If all the tribes remain on the east side of the river, there'll be no way for God to build his temple in the good land. There's no way that the kingdom will be established. So this time, when I go over this morning, I'm really touched concerning this matter that today we are, on the one hand, the Lord has given us the all-inclusive Christ as our portion, as our allotment, as our divine possession, but with a purpose. So today, we also need to view all that what we have, what the Lord has given to us, with God's view, that his purpose, for his purpose, he is leading us. For his purpose, he is blessing us. For his purpose, he wants to bless us more and more. So we all can have a part in his purpose. On my trip back, the last leg from the from Shanghai, to JFK, there was a brother sitting next to me. If I didn't pray that prayer, I start just my preference, you know, whatever I watch, I don't think I can fellowship with him. But anyway, I was able to fellowship a little bit with him, and he's very open. So even our trip, whatever the Lord is leading us, there is a purpose. He has his purpose, and he wants to bless us so that we can participate in his purpose. So I'm just very thankful that we have this Old Testament picture to show us we need to see something much better than our choice. That is God's choice. And also, we should not let our second best influence us and influence other saints, that we can all remain in God's purpose. We took an Uber from the airport. The driver also, you know, he, I asked him, he's driving and he has no purpose of his living. That's his job. I asked him whether he has a purpose. He doesn't have a purpose. But today, we have God's purpose as our purpose. And I'm just so thankful that we are in the church. We are in God's purpose. And this is the meaning of our life. That every day, we can live a life with eternal value. Amen. Praise the Lord. May we all join the other tribes going to the good land for his building. Amen.
Exactly, and that's why I want to say something. It's amazing. Last night, the Spanish-speaking saints covered message 2 of the Spanish-speaking conference. What do you think was the burden of that message? The same thing, only it may have seemed a little different. The burden of the whole conference was to be vigilant in life and faithful in service. On the point one, be vigilant in life. The title was unbelievable. By having what? A hidden life. So we may not have paid much attention to this, but in Matthew 6:6, but you, when you pray, enter into your private room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Amen. The other portion we had was chapter 14, verses 23-24, after the Lord fed the 6,000, he sent the people away, and even send the disciples away, right, so he could go up to the mountain to pray with his Father. So what is the hidden life? Okay. Of course, we know the key point is to have a personal time with the Lord early in the morning, in the womb of the morning. What kind of personal time? They use, in the message, they use 3 words. The first word, not your list. Of course, we have needs. Of course, we have saints we pray for. But that's not what we're talking about. So the second word that was used was fellowship. Have fellowship with the Lord. The third word that was used was inquire. Inquire of the Lord concerning your daily life. And in this way, we can have a hidden life with the Lord. And that happens to be the victorious life. So I was just touched that the burden is exactly the same. So I just want to mention that. Amen.